Welcome back to the OU Daily Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Friday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Toldos, the fourth day of the month of Kislev. We made it through another week. Shabbos is almost here. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family, for their continued support, and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for Sunday's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce Rabbi Michael Talbus of Congregation Zichron Mordechai in Teaneck, New Jersey, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Talbus slowly reciting our daily three chapters of Tehillim, Perek, Chaf Gimel, Kuf, Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130. It will be followed by the Mishaberach Lecholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Talbus to learn more about his wonderful community in Teaneck. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding Sunday's speaker, b'chavod, with great honor, Rabbi Talbus.
Thank you very much. A good Erev Shabbos to everybody. It's obvious to all that we're living during very challenging and difficult times, and for different members of the community, the feelings that we experience at this time range from anxiety, nervousness, a lack of clarity about the future, a certain amount of depression, perhaps, to, in some unfortunately extreme cases, profound sadness and profound grief to the people who've been more afflicted by the pandemic. And we wonder, as observant Jews, as people committed to the values of Torah, how do we strengthen ourselves during these times? We obviously can't just march on as though nothing is happening and the world around us continues in its usual fashion when it's clear that this pandemic has interfered with every part of all of our lives. And so I'd just like to suggest that while we certainly have to legitimize those who feel anxious and nervous and may feel that way ourselves, and those, as I said before, who are afflicted with grief and profound sorrow, we sympathize with them. However, we think can draw a certain amount of inspiration, particularly from the month that we just began. As was noted, today is the 4th of Kislev, so early this week we celebrated Rosh Chodesh Kislev, the beginning of the month. And the month of Kislev, of course, is most known as being the month in which we celebrate the joyous holiday of Hanukkah. In fact, the first day of Hanukkah is 3 weeks from today. And if you look in the Gemara, you look in the Talmud, Masechet Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph Mudbeis, the Gemara tells us what exactly the sages did when establishing the holiday of Hanukkah. Of course, the holiday of Hanukkah is not found in the Torah. It hadn't happened yet. It was a holiday established by the sages. And the days were established to be days of Hallel and Hodah, of reciting praise, Hallel, you know what Hallel is, and Hodah, Thanksgiving. Well, next week is Thanksgiving in the American calendar, the United States. We celebrate Thanksgiving at the end of November. But as Jewish people, we also celebrate a holiday of Thanksgiving in the end of the month of Kislev, and that's what the holiday of Hanukkah is all about. And I think that those two ideas may be able to serve as an inspiration to us, especially during this difficult time. What is Hallel? Hallel is a collection of chapters in Tehillim, but they are recited on joyous occasions, on the Yom Tovim. They are recited on days of Simcha, in fact, days of gladness. You look in the Rambam, not just days of gladness, but days of Simcha Yisera, excessive gladness, excessive happiness. So Hanukkah is a time when we say Hallel to express great happiness. And it's also a holiday of Hodah, to express gratitude, to express appreciation. And I think that those two ideas, joy, gladness, and appreciation, gratitude, are things that we have to keep in mind to keep ourselves going and to keep ourselves strong and moving forward during these challenging times. It doesn't mean we don't feel the appropriate sadness and appropriate nervousness and appropriate concern and plan accordingly. But it means that we have to strengthen ourselves to experience simcha, to experience gladness, and to experience the sense of gratitude when appropriate as well. You know, if we think about Hanukkah, it's very interesting. People who have studied Jewish history are aware of the fact that, you know, the triumph of Hanukkah was relatively short-lived. Not long after the story that we know, the menorah burning for 8 days and so on and so forth, the Jews had trouble with the foreign government, with the Roman government. It was only some 235 or so years later that the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, was destroyed, many of the descendants of the great heroes of Hanukkah, the Hashmonaim, the Hasmoneans, many of them turned out to be scoundrels. And they were people who were not fit to be leaders, and they assumed the role of leadership, and it was a disaster for the people. And so what exactly are we celebrating when it comes to Hanukkah? The rededication of the temple? What temple? It's been destroyed. The reestablishment of Jewish sovereignty? It was taken away from us. So isn't it strange, when you think about it, to have a holiday that celebrates something? Maybe then it made sense to have the holiday. But now, what are we celebrating? The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. What menorah? What light? We don't have it anymore. It doesn't matter. Perhaps that's what the sages are telling us. You look at the big picture, maybe it wasn't so bright. Maybe it was bleak. But there was an occasion for happiness. And it was an occasion to show gratitude. And when those occasions come up, we do it. Even if it may only be short-lived, even if it may not really change the big picture ultimately, we're happy and we're supposed to be happy, and we show gratitude and we're supposed to show gratitude. And therefore, I would submit that specifically during these times, these challenging times that we live in now, when there's an occasion for simcha, a simcha in the family, a simcha in the community, you will enjoy it. Maybe we can't have the same type of a wedding or the same type of a bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah celebration or the same type of bris milah celebration, same type as we always had in the past, but it doesn't matter. We should have the simcha anyway. We should enjoy. We should wish people mazel tov and good news and not hold back. Maybe we can't attend the simcha. We can call our friends and say mazel tov. I'm so happy for you. Baruch Hashem, just this week, my daughter had a baby girl. So we're overjoyed in our family. And I want to make sure that although we maybe can't do the same thing, it's not going to be a kiddush, it's not going to be a public celebration of any kind, but we want to accept the good wishes of people, and we want to extend people our good wishes when they have a simcha. And we want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things that we have. Don't all of us also have good things in our lives? Don't we also have things for which we should thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Even if the big picture is difficult, think for a moment. Spend a moment every day of thinking of the positive things that you have in your life. And you can thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for those as well. And so as we approach the holiday of Hanukkah, the time of Simcha and the time of Hodah, we have to recognize that maybe that's a lesson for life in general. Find those occasions of Simcha. Celebrate. You hear someone that had a baby. You hear someone celebrating the Simcha. Give them a call. Okay, drop them a line. Drop them an email. Text something that shows that you appreciate the Simcha and you're happy also. And when we have opportunity to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's be thankful and grateful and show gratitude for what we have. I think if we can strengthen ourselves to pursue these things and think every day, what can I be happy about today? Who can I be happy for today? Let me pick up the phone and give that person a call. Let me shoot them an email or drop them a text to show that I'm part of the simcha. And also, in dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the positive things that we have in our lives. Maybe in the bigger picture, there are challenges and there are more challenges yet to come. But if we take the lesson of Hanukkah, which, as I said, was a short-lived holiday in the sense of what it accomplished, but it's a holiday we continue to observe now, many, many centuries later, because these two lessons, Simcha and Hodah, happiness and gratitude, may we all find things in our lives to be happy about and to express gratitude to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu about. We'll now recite the paragraphs of Tehillim. Starting with Parak Chaf Gimel, Kapitel Chaf Gimel, chapter 23. Mizmor le David, Adonai roi lo echzor, Vinos deshe yar bitzehni, Almei mnuchos yinah aleini, Nafshi yishovev, Yancheini v'mag leitzedek l'ma'an shemo, Gam kielech b'gei tzamoves lo yirara ki atoy modi, Shivtecho mishantecho hei mo yinachamuni. Aroch lefonai shulchan neged tzoriroi Bishanto v'ashem en roshi kosi revoyo Ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni kol yimei chayoi V'shavti v'veis adonoi li'ol rech yomim. Chapter 121, Kapitel Kuf Chaf Aleph. Shir lama'alos Esa einai ele harim, me'ayin yovo ezri. Ezri me'im adonai, osei shomayim ba'oret. Al yitein lamot raglecho, al yonum shomerecho. Hinei lo yonum velo yishon, shomer Yisrael. Adonai Shomerecha, Adonai Tzilecha, Al Yad Yeminecha, Yomam Hashemesh Lo Yakecha, V'yareach Baloilo, Adonai Yishmorecha Mikol Ro, Yishmor Es Nafshecha, Adonai Yishmor Tzeitzecha Uvolecha, Me'atra'o V'yad Olam. Now finally, our Kuf Lamed, chapter 130. Shir HaMa'alos, Mima'amakim, Kirosicha Adonai. Adonai, Shim'o V'kolei, Hihena Oznecha Kashuvos, L'kol Pachanunoi. Imabonos, Tishmoyo, Adonai, Mi'amod. Kimcha hatzlicha lema'an tivorei. Kivisi agnoi kiviso nafshi v'lidvoro hocholti. Nafshi l'adonoi mishomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el adonoi ki im adonoi hachesed V'harbe imo fedus, v'hu yifde es Yisrael, mikol avol nosov. We'll now say the Mishaberech, and I'll pause so people can insert the names of those who are in need of Refuah Shlema, speedy recovery. May God grant them all the recovery that they need. Mishaberech avoseinu, Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, Moshe Aaron David u'Shlomo, V'yivorech v'yirape es hacholim es hacholos. Asher kol hakohol hazot masbiz palim baburam. Hakadosh baruch hu yimalei rachamim aleihem. L'achalimam ul'raposam ul'chazikam ul'chayosam. V'yishlach lahem. Mehera refuah shalema min hashamayim lechol Abraham lechol gideihem b'soch she'ar chol Yisrael refuah hanefesh refuah hagof hashta bagalov izman kariv v'nomar amen. Finally, Achenu, on behalf of all the Jews who are in need of help all over the world, Achenu kol beis Yisrael hanesunim batzoro v'ashivyo. Omidim bein bayam uvein bayam osho. Hamakom yirachem aleihem biyotziyem mitzara lirvacha. Umafela liyora. Umishibud ligula. Hashta bagalav izman kariv. Benomar amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Talbus. First of all, mazel tov on your new baby granddaughter. Such wonderful news. I have to share with you that I've presided over these calls now for the past 8+ months and well over now 200 calls. Wow. And without getting myself in trouble, your message has been up there as one of my favorites over these past months. Such a positive
message.
Thank you very much. We end our calls every day and we talk about hope and we talk about optimism and what a beautiful message. I want to thank you for sharing that with all of us. Well, we'll transition now into the next segment of our call. And first and foremost, I think I'll know the answer because you told us already, but how are you and your family and the community doing?
Baruch Hashem, again, we're very happy in the family right now. My daughter came home from the hospital right away. They don't want you staying too much, even after having a baby. So before she came home, those who live in the house, my wife, myself, and one of my sons, we all went and had a COVID test beforehand so that they should come back safely, Baruch Hashem. So we're all doing fine. Now the children also, B'yamara, not living at home, but wherever they live, Baruch Hashem, are doing well. Our community here in Teaneck, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic, we were hit pretty hard. There were a number of people who took ill and even worse, who passed away, including some people that I know quite well for a long time. But Baruch Hashem, now things are more stable. Of course, we're all hearing that the numbers are rising, so we have to see what's going to happen in the future. But in the meanwhile, Baruch Hashem, the shuls are open. They're both outdoor minyanim and indoor minyanim, of course, with social distancing, with masks, and And we're doing the best we can under difficult circumstances.
Certainly so. And we're grateful to hear that at least now that people are doing better. We're sorry to hear for the losses those who you knew and that the community experienced. So we've been fortunate, and it'd be hard-pressed to find a Jew in the world who doesn't know about TNIC. And we've had other rabbis from TNIC on who shared with us a little bit more about the community. So maybe to narrow in a little bit for us, if you can give us a brief overview of your shul and community.
Okay, so first of all, I probably have more knowledge about TNIC than most people because I'm basically born and bred in TNIC. I've lived here my whole life.
Okay, take the whole question. You got it.
my parents were from the more or less the original TNIC people, not the group that established the first shul, but pretty much the first people who moved in from outside, you know, TNIC, to come to TNIC when the community was just starting. You know, there was basically a minion of people, and I was a little kid. I was a year old, so I can't say I remember it. and of course, we've seen tremendous growth in the community. So many shuls, and you know, I like to tell people they don't believe me because TNIC now is considered a hub in terms of kosher food and kosher eateries. There was no kosher food available in TNIC until I was in high school. Okay, and there was no pizza shops, no bakeries, nothing. It was a very, very different time. So we've seen the growth of the community. My particular shul, Zichron Mordechai, was founded. I guess it's now close to 30 years ago, I didn't found the shul. It was founded by people who wanted to have a shul where the davening pace was a little bit slower, you know, than in other shuls, not to be critical of anybody else, but these are people who wanted to spend a little more time in shul and also make sure that all the times matched as man kriya shma and shki and everything else, which, you know, different shuls have different practices, and they're all based on proper halacha, but this was designed to be, you know, a type of a shul where people are davening at a slower pace, and not for everybody, but those people wanted to establish a shul, and so I became the rav. I was the first rav of the shul, the only rav of the shul. So it's, you know, it's a shul which I enjoy davening in very much because I like to daven a little more slowly, and sometimes you feel rushed in shuls. And, you know, so we have people who are like-minded, and also I give shiurim, and I give classes, and I guess people are like that. And, you know, it's a very nice shul. It's a small shul. It's one of the small shuls in TNIC. We have a small building on the same street as two of the larger shuls in TNIC. It's down the block from Congregation B'nai Yeshurun, which was the first, very first shul in TNIC, and the Congregation B'nai Yisrael, where I davened, you know, kind of grown up, certainly as an older, you know, as older youngster. But down the block, Baruch Hashem, TNIC is a community where we don't have competition. To be honest, the Rabbanim all get along, Baruch Hashem. You know, we all would daven in someone else's shul. There's not like bad blood, bad politics that exists. That doesn't mean everybody agrees about everything, but by and large, there's great respect, mutual respect, all the Rabbanim, one for the other. Many people, you know, they'll come to my shul one Shabbos, daven a different shul, a different Shabbos, or Friday night they'll daven here. You know, so the community in that sense, I think, is a very strong and unified community. And that's, I think, a bracha. So my shul caters to a particular type of crowd, and that's who enjoys coming. We have our Shkama minion, we have a regular minion, and, you know, Milchem Arav, and so on. So, Baruch Hashem, it's a successful shul. I don't take the credit for it, but I'm one of the people involved.
It sounds great, and my guess, based on your description, is that your shul does not have an early morning Shmura minion.
No, there's no shmur in our shul. And the other thing about it also is we're very makbid on also is that it's actually very quiet in shul. It's a very quiet shul. There's no talking during davening, during chazar shashat, during laning. It's a quiet shul. So really the slower pace and the quiet. And we don't have policemen going around. It's just that's the type of crowd that comes. That you know, the Baruch Hashem, I'm very fortunate to have that. I'm not being critical of other people, but this is the crowd that we have. So it makes my job easier. I don't have to stop davening and tell people to stop talking and stuff like that. Baruch Hashem.
I think one of the silver linings, I think one of the blessings that have come out of the pandemic is that with the social distancing and shul seats spread apart, the talking has really dramatically decreased in shul.
That's true. That is true. But Baruch Hashem, that wasn't a problem that we had by and large. So, again, that's the type of clientele. But, you know, again, I sometimes, you know, I daven late Myra, for example, because I'm not home in time for my own shul and so on. So I go to one of the other shuls. In fact, I give shurim, you know, for some of the other shuls in town. So, as I said before, that's one of the nice things about TNIC is that, Baruch Hashem, the Rabbanim and the people in the shul, they get along with each other. You know, I davened in a different minyan this morning. And, you know, I was welcomed. It's a very positive thing, Baruch Hashem, the community.
It's really beautiful. Rabbi Tavis, what motivated and drove you to go into the rabbinate, to become a pulpit rabbi?
That's a good question. The truth of the matter is, the field that I decided to pursue once I got smicha was chinuch, was education. And I've been a rebbe for many, many years. I'm now a rebbe in YU in the smicha program. And I was head of school for a while at YU's high school, head of school in a different yeshiva high school that we had. So most of my career, so to speak, was more focused on chinuch, on education and teaching. I'm very proud to be, you know, among the rebbe and the Rosh Yeshiva in YU, and to give a smicha shiur. I'm still involved in YU's high school and MTA as the Rosh Yeshiva over there, and I dab with the boys, and I give chaburas to the boys, you know. So it's really, my career was just chinuch, but about, I guess, I have to figure it out now, but a little less than 30 years ago, when this shul started, they came to me and asked me if I was interested in being, you know, a shul rabbi. I said, oh, okay, I'll give it a shot, you know. So it's a little strange. It's probably a different answer than most of the time gets. It wasn't my career choice, so to speak, that I pursued. It kind of came to me. I do very much enjoy giving shiurim and saying over divrei Torah, and this gave me the opportunity to do that in a shul where I'm very comfortable, and the people and I have kind of like the same way of thinking. So that's kind of how it happened. You know, that's not to say that we don't have issues in our shul, but I don't sometimes have to deal with, you know, the unpleasant sides of the rabbinate. You know, of course, things come up, but people are people. But by and large, you know, kind of sort of fell into my lap, and I figured, I'll give it a shot. And, well, it's been almost 30 years, and I guess it's been successful. I've certainly enjoyed it, and I wouldn't give it up. And so far, they seem to be happy with me. So
I would say after this amount of time, I think it's a sure end that the people are happy. But our last question for you for today on a short Arab Shabbos Kodesh. Yes. With the world having changed so much as a result of the pandemic, obviously there's been positives in that we have Zoom and there's FaceTime and people are able to be in touch with one another. And you know, we spoke a little bit earlier about how maybe there's less talking in shul because people are more separated. Mm-hmm. But when we think about your shul, think about Teaneck, you think about more broadly the Jewish community as a whole, what communal changes do you anticipate, perhaps something that will stick and what will be the new normal in your town, we hope, soon in the post-COVID-19 world?
It's a good question, and I've been asked that before, and I've thought about it. It's hard to say, obviously. You know, I think there'll be, to a certain extent, a greater appreciation for davening and for shul. You know, I mean, you have the line, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And for those months, we couldn't go to shul at all. Our shuls were closed. I think people missed it, and they missed what shul represents. And the best proof being that people went out of their way, you know, with tents and outdoor minyanim and chairs, you know, which was exceedingly, you know, difficult to set up, but everybody did it. You know, I think a greater appreciation for tefillah, a greater appreciation for tefillah b'tzibur. In terms of Zoom, I have to be honest, you know, until the pandemic, I never heard of Zoom. I didn't even know what it was. The Zoom, I thought, was a type of rocket ship. You know, I didn't know what it was. And, you know, but now my whole life is on Zoom because my shiurim in YU, you know, I mean, I have some students who are there live, but others who can't come in. So I do it on Zoom, and my shiurim in the shul, everything's on Zoom, you know, so a lot of stuff's on Zoom. So, and it's been a lifesaver for so many people, you know, and I think that may stay with us in the sense that, you know, more people can tune in to Torah from home. I mean, programs like this, and you know, it's sometimes difficult when you have to go out to a shir. You know, you have to go, and you have to drive there, and you have to schlep, and maybe it's cold out. Ah, forget it, I won't go, you know. Now you just have to click on the screen. You can sit, and you know, and I think many Rabbanim will tell you, and I'll tell you also, some of my shirim are better attended now than ever before. And I think that's part of it. You know, it does take a certain, I think to a certain extent that will stay. In terms of, I think people hopefully will appreciate other people. I think one of the things you hear, and I didn't have the time to address it in my remarks earlier, but one of the things you always hear is that people miss the camaraderie, the socialization. You know, yeah, you see somebody, you got to keep a mask on, you got to keep your distance, or maybe we don't see anybody at all, or we limit whom we see. And, you know, some of us, I mean, there'll be a greater appreciation for friendship and for camaraderie, for people getting together, hopefully in a way, and it'll be safe, it'll be good for everybody. I think there'll be a greater appreciation for that. So those are, I think, some of the positives that may emerge. And, of course, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, we certainly hope so, and the news is definitely promising, although we'll be cautiously optimistic as we look forward to what will be with these vaccines, but certainly looking promising. Rabbi Tavis, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community, as they are with all of Klal Yisrael and of the entire world. Our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered with tova for good. And may the Rabbonei Sha'olam, the Master of the World, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for words of inspiration from Rabbi Eli Babich of the Fifth Avenue Synagogue in Manhattan, New York. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, uplifting, restful, amazing, beautiful, and safe Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom.